In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There met him 10 lepers who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to him, "Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The miracle of the cleansing of the 10 lepers teaches us about the grace of God. Leprosy was a dread disease. It ostracized you from worshiping in the temple or the synagogue. It isolated you from communion with other people. It resulted in the withering away of your body until you eventually died. So the idea that these 10 lepers were suffering cannot be minimized. And it was their suffering with this dread disease that drew them to Jesus to cry out, "Have mercy on us." And now here's the universal grace. He was merciful. He sent them to the priest as a testimony to the priests in Jerusalem that Messiah had come because lepers were cleansed and the priests were to understand and bear witness to this grace of God revealed in Jesus of Nazareth as the Son of God. But while they went, while the cleansing took place, only one returned to Jesus. Not merely in thanksgiving, but in faith. Why do some believe in Jesus and trust in what he did for them upon the cross as the gospel proclaims full and free forgiveness as a gift of God's grace, and others do not? Why do some believe and others do not? Jesus accomplished the work of salvation for the whole world, and yet not everyone enjoys it. He didn't withdraw his mercy to those 9 lepers who did not return to him in thanksgiving, just like he continues to feed with daily bread those who do not believe in him. He doesn't smite dead in this life those who have recovered from COVID-19 and have been joyful that they've recovered from COVID-19, but have not recognized the fountain and source of life, which is Christ. He is long-suffering and patient. Through the things that we suffer in this life, whether it is leprosy or COVID-19 or problems that we have brought upon ourselves that have led to the disasters and the tragedies of our own life, God intends to work through those to draw us to himself. Again, I return to the question, why do some believe and others do not if Jesus won salvation for the world, and the scriptures say he desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? And the answer to that question is, I do not know. Faith is a miracle of the Holy Spirit through the word of the gospel. And perhaps the not knowing of why some believe and others do not is to teach us who do believe to walk by faith and not by sight, to place our trust only in him who suffered and died upon the cross, bearing every sickness and infirmities, and to give thanks. And that's what I'd like to focus on for the rest of our time here together, It is this universal grace of God for unworthy, poor, miserable sinners, like we say in the liturgy, that redounded in this Samaritan, this foreigner, in faith and thanksgiving. Faith in Christ, trust in the Lord Jesus, clinging to Him has the fruit of thanksgiving. What did he thank Jesus for? Simply, thank you, Lord, I had leprosy and now I don't anymore. Hallelujah. I'm sure he did. But there was more than that. Throughout the New Testament, we see this call to give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. That means to give thanks for the adversities that come into our life. How many of us willingly do this? To give thanks for sickness. To give thanks for hardship. To give thanks for the suffering that comes upon us as Christians. And to give thanks, not that we've sinned and screwed up our lives, but that in the midst of how we have screwed up, our Lord has remained faithful. And He won't let go of us. This is part of the thanksgiving of this leper. He was a Samaritan. He was ostracized from Israel. They considered him to be an enemy, the rest of the Jews. When he was healed of his leprosy, for him it was more than the healing of a physical disease. For him, he recognized that there was someone greater than his disease. There was a benefit greater than physical healing. And it was the gift of God's overwhelming, undeserved love in this man from Nazareth, who is the Messiah and the Savior of all people. So I want you to imagine this leper coming to Jesus and the substance of his thanksgiving, which flowed out of the miracle of faith, which the Lord, in his word of grace, had created in his heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, I give thanks to you. For though I was sick with leprosy and with the corruption of sin and evil in my own life, you chose to love me and to make my sins and my sicknesses and my infirmities your own. I give thanks to you, for you have delivered me not only from the disease of leprosy, but from the disease of sin. Bondage to punishment and Satan's power from which I could not free myself. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. That is one of the most repeated phrases in the Psalter, and that Samaritan would have prayed that prayer to Jesus. His mercy endures forever. The mercies of God sustain us every day of our lives, even when we are oblivious to them. He gives daily bread to everyone without our prayer, even to all evil people who are oblivious to them, but he does not withdraw the gift of daily bread. You and I have the opportunity as Christians who have received the salvation of our Lord Jesus to stand solidly upon that foundation and to confess the name of Christ with thanksgiving to a world around us which is so much in despair, thinking that our greatest need is to recover from a virus when the greatest need is to be saved from the reality of sin. To give thanks to God before the world and to teach the world that God works through suffering under the curse of the fall, which includes disease, famine, pestilence, hardship, hurricanes, floods, earthquake, and even death itself to bring about his greatest good. All of this, the Samaritan confessed in his thanksgiving to the Lord Jesus. Let me put it another way. It is almost as if he would have said to the Lord Jesus, if I had not been sick with leprosy, I would not have come to understand and know the wonder of your love. If I had not been a Samaritan, separated from the worshiping community of Israel, despised by the Israelites, I would never have known the wonders of your grace. How many of you are gathered here today and worshiping as Christians because of hardship that has come into your life? How many of you went astray from the Lord's house, wandered from your baptism, only to have suffering or the death of a loved one or hardship draw you back with the realization, I cannot be my own Savior, I need Christ? The theology of the cross teaches us that God accomplishes his greatest good in the midst of suffering and when human reason is contradicted. Newsflash. For us as Christians, our faith is in Christ. Understand that the thankful heart flows from faith. Understand that faith is not your doing. It is a miracle of God's grace. Understand that the Lord wants nothing more for you than that you receive his mercy. The highest worship of God in all the gospel is not to offer our goods to God, but to desire to receive his forgiveness and mercy. It is why Jesus said to this Samaritan who is healed, your faith has made you well. Because the singular focus of faith is Christ Jesus, who loves us, who never leaves us, who will not forsake us, who will even work through the things that we have screwed up in our own lives to draw us closer to himself in repentance and faith. For this we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Pray again the words of the opening hymn of invocation. Praise the Almighty, my soul adore him. Yes, I will laud him until death. With songs and anthems I come before him as long as he allows me breath. From him my life and all things came. Bless, O my soul, his holy name. Alleluia, alleluia. Trust not in rulers, they are but mortal. Earth-born they are and soon decay. Vain are their counsels at life's last portal when the dark grave engulfs its prey. Since mortals can no help afford, place all your trust in Christ our Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. Blessed, oh blessed are they forever whose help is from the Lord Most High, whom from salvation can nothing sever, and who in hope to Christ draws nigh. To all who trust in him our Lord, counsel and aid will now afford. Alleluia, alleluia. Penitent sinners, for mercy crying, pardon and peace from him obtain, ever the wants of the poor supplying, their faithful God he will remain. He helps his children in distress, the widows and the fatherless. Alleluia, alleluia. Oh, that we might learn to believe this. And there is only one who can create such faith. And there's only one who can inspire such thanksgiving. And that is the one who came to Samaritans, who came to poor, miserable sinners, the Son of God in human flesh, to make their sin and leprosy his own, that by the sacrifice of his body and blood unto death, he might redeem them. And so with the whole church on earth, in every time and in every place, in times of horrendous persecution and earthly suffering, praise all you people, the name so holy of him who does such wondrous things. All that has being, praise him solely. With happy heart, its amen sings. Children of God with angel host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia, for there is nothing that can give us the peace of God that surpasses all understanding but the mercy of Christ Jesus. to whom we cling in the face of life and death. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.